Galilee is, well, it's a lovely place to live. It's a nice place. And I've been here all my life. I've been here all my life with my wife, my child, little daughter. With some farmland. It's nothing fancy, mind. But we make a decent enough living. We do. Thursday is market day, and I used to go into town every Thursday, sell some produce, barter and banter. I mean, that was it, barter and banter, just really good. Buy lunch with some friends, with a crack. The crack would be 90, really would. Certain times of the year, you would help your neighbors out. You know, it would be harvest, or maybe it's a wee bit darker, but maybe if there was an emergency, you know, the difficult time, there'd been an accident. You just looked out for each other. You just belonged. Your friends, part of a community. You just belonged. That's how it was. I belong to a different community now. See, it was just a little spot on my forearm. I thought nothing much about it, but I was nervous. But it began to spread. Patches began to show. I wore long sleeves for a while. But then, spread onto my hands. And I sensed I was beginning to lose the feeling in my fingers. I actually cut myself once or twice, and I didn't even notice. Because, like, the just gone. Hannah, my wife, She had noticed. But she was afraid to say anything. I mean, what do you say? Afraid to say anything. In fact, she was just afraid. She was afraid of me. Everything was changing. I was like a dead man walking. And it wasn't just my health that I was losing. It was my family, my farm, my friends, my future. Goodness, I was losing my faith. The law said I had to go to the priest and be examined. And I mean, you're declared unclean. The very place that you want to go for help, for support, for answers, is the place that excludes you, rejects you. Was it my fault? Some hidden sin in my past? Was it because my parents had some secret sin harbored away deep? Was it God's punishment? You just feel abandoned. My last physical contact with Hannah was the day we said goodbye. She just stroked my shoulder on the good side. There was no hug or embrace. Little Joanna, our daughter, well, she just watched, confused. But she was kept at arm's length. She was kept at arm's length. And after a while, not touching, it just becomes like second nature. You see, you have to go and live outside the village. All the unclean together, a community of the contaminated, all in one place. It's the law, you see, handed down from Moses in Leviticus. Ceremonially unclean, out you go. And you know, I agree with it. It's easy when it's somebody else, but never thought it would come rapping in my door, in our door. You never think it might be you. Here we go. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. That's it. You look like nothing. You can go nowhere. And after a while, the smell from your own wounds makes you feel sick, turns your stomach. I mean, you make yourself sick. How sick is that? But that's this disease. And I'm sick of wearing those stupid bells. You have to wear these bells round your shoulders that jingle so that people know the unclean is coming through. I'm just sick of their constant jingling and jangling. It's like a reminder, I am a reject, an outcast, excluded, I'm filthy. And I have so many questions. I mean, I understand the Levitical laws and that they're there to protect the whole community. But how do they sit alongside the psalmist who writes of God, and we've even sung it in the synagogue, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He has compassion on all that he has made. See, I want to see that side of God. Feeling loved and valued. But not this isolation. This rejection. Feeling helpless and hopeless. Families would sometimes bring food to us out at the cave. They'd leave it by a certain tree or a certain rock. Every family, each person has their own little plan. And you maybe get little notes, little updates, snippets of information. But you know what? Often they just remind you of everything you've lost. And really the months just roll into years. You lose track of time, of people, of the world outside of the world of the outcast, if you get me. Well, it was this day, it was just this news came, never heard it before, anything like it. A teacher, a healer, a rabbi, news of people being healed. Supposedly one day at Simon Peter's house, you know, well, most people know him, the big fisherman guy. His mother-in-law was ill. And she was healed by the teacher. And apparently that evening at sunset, after Sabbath, the people brought all the sick and demon-possessed to the house. And it was like the whole house, the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many people who had various diseases, drove out demons. But he wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. That was strange. Well, I don't know. It was like something woke deep inside of me. I had to get to a place where I could see him, speak to him. And I know it was against the rules, but why not me? if he had healed many who had various diseases. Why not me? Was it the prophet Jeremiah said? We had learned it. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, I tell you what, I went seeking, searching, sneaking, trying to catch a clue to the teacher's whereabouts. I had to be careful to stay out of sight. My goodness, you could imagine what would happen. But knowing that when I saw Jesus, the teacher, I would have to abandon myself to his mercy. No more hiding. I would maybe walk into a whole barrage of abuse from people. I don't know, maybe even from him. I don't know. How would he respond? See, you get used to living as an outcast. You keep out of sight, try not to draw attention to yourself. But the hope welling up in the pit of my stomach made me bold, almost defiant, determined. Well, the day I saw him, I knew it was him. I knew it was him by the way people followed him. And like little children were playing around him. And he tousled their hair and he welcomed their playfulness. I just knew it was him. Well, I burst into the open. And I ran to him and I fell on my knees and I said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He heard my cry, all right. I don't know if it was a cry of faith or frustration. Because when you live like this for so long, but just if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you've healed others. Will you heal me? Make me clean, because I am sick of living like this, of this disease. I think he must have known that the cry came from the very, very depths of my being, from my soul. Well, my sudden appearance brought, first of all, stunned silence for about a millisecond, and then gasps, screams, and a torrent of abuse from everybody else that was there. Jesus, though, and hear me, he didn't look at me. Didn't look at me. He saw me. He saw me. He saw my condition, but his eyes were filled with compassion. He saw me. He saw into my soul. He felt my pain and my hurt, and I think that he hates the illness more than I do, you know. What he did next just floored me. You see, he could have just spoken a word. He could have just said the word. In fact, there are stories about this wee boy in Capernaum. And Jesus was away up in the mountains in Cana. And his dad went to him, and he was an official son, like a royal official. And Jesus just said the word. He says, "You may go, your son will live." I mean, he was miles away, and the boy was healed. So Jesus just could have said the word. But for me, filthy, smelly, a vile leper, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched me. He touched me. He touched my contaminated body. And I haven't felt the warmth of a hand touching me in years. Because you just get used to isolation. And he said, I am willing. Be clean. And I've been thinking about it so much. It was like his words dealt with my infection, with my leprosy. But his touch banished my isolation, my loneliness. I couldn't believe it. Or could I? I still don't know. Immediately, the leprosy left me. Gone. I was clean again. My clothes were still filthy rags, but my skin was as smooth as, well, I won't say it in synagogue. But I'm annoyed with myself, though. I'm annoyed with myself. Because, well, you see, Jesus instructed me to not tell anyone initially, but to go and show myself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for his cleansing. And, well, now, because of me, Jesus can't enter a town openly. He stays outside in lonely places, but people still come to him from everywhere, but it's my fault. Some are saying he's unclean because he touched me, and so that, you know, he's broken the rules. So others are saying that he has no regard for the law of Moses, he just kind of ignores it, and that's shameful in our society. And all because I didn't go straight to the priest and do what Jesus asked me, the right way. I will go and see them, though. But I just had to tell people because I was clean. I was clean and had been filthy, rejected, outcast. You know, I feel that he just hasn't cleaned me on the outside, though. I feel that he's cleansed me from the inside out. Because I've been bitter and broken for years. Bitter and broken for years. It's a bit like I'm a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. It's amazing. One of my friends told me that Jesus had stood up in the synagogue in Galilee just not long before I was healed, and he read from the prophet Isaiah, and he said he has come to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And wait, I tell you, that was me. To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favor. And then, this is amazing, then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's like Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah, the promised one of God. I just want to follow Jesus, to share the good news. To show the same compassion that others have shown, that Jesus has shown to me. I want to have ears to hear the cry of the broken and the distressed. I want to have eyes to see like Jesus sees. To notice the lonely and the hurting. I need to have the courage and compassion of Jesus, though. Not just to see and to hear, but to step out in action, to show the tender touch of Jesus to others. I don't even know what that really looks like. It's maybe a friendly handshake for somebody. A gentle hand on a sorrowful shoulder. taking these hands to write a letter to somebody who's hurting, to make a meal for somebody who's lonely. I don't know, just to carry each other's burdens and fulfill Jesus' law. When I think of all that he has done for me, I want to follow Jesus with a heart of compassion. That we should love because he has first loved us. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would take these words and use them as you see fit. Thank you, Lord God, for this story. Lord Jesus, thank you for your heart of compassion. And we pray that you would help us to live and care and love others as you have loved us. For we pray in Jesus' name.